stock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. Still a little, not too bad out there today, but it was chilly at the house this morning. 13 degrees when I fired the truck up to warm it up this morning. And it's just, hey, it's winter. Are you guys ready? I think they've called the snow off for most of Oklahoma, maybe a little bit up northwestern Oklahoma and the panhandle this coming towards the end of the week. But it looks like we got some moisture coming, so get them fertilizer put down. It's that time of the year. Get her put down, get her ordered. Probably going to be last in the line right now as of today, but it's just that time of the year. Everything's getting fired up. All kinds of nothing crazy going on around mine. We got I got calves going on west of Elk and calving going on. Let me restate that. But first of all, let's check out some temperatures. 46 at Beaver, 43 at Alva, 43 at Watonga, 41 at Eric, 42 at Hollis. Hobart, you're 42 out here in the panhandle of Texas. Paladora Reservoir, you're 44. Miami, you're 45. Dozer's 43. Odell's 40. 41 degrees at Goodlet. I want to brag on some kids from Oklahoma today. Especially the ones from Canute. Jared posted a deal on the Penny News and the KCO Facebook page, but Denver, this is an article out of Denver, Colorado, the auction of the junior livestock champions of the 2025 National Western Stock Show broke records, generating an impressive $637,000 across the top eight champion animals. This shattered the previous high of $585,000 set in 2023. Zayden Allen, freshman at Canute High School, and her grand champion goat, Humble, stole the show by selling for a record $45,000. Likewise, Clay Randall, a junior at Canute High School, proudly showcased Tucker, not named after Monty either, the grand champion lamb, which fetched a remarkable $52,500, which was another record. Other highlights included the grand champion steer shown by Madeline Norvell, who attends Amber Pocasset Schools, sold for a jaw-dropping $210,000 to Hutchison Western, surpassing the 2023 record of $200,000. The auction is accumulation of hard work and dedication by junior exhibitors aged 9 to 19, participating in 4-H and FFA. It provides an extraordinary marketplace for ribbon-winning steers, lambs, hogs, and goats, while encouraging the next generation to pursue careers in agriculture and further their education. Of the thousands of junior market animals at the stock show, only 98 qualified for this elite auction. Most of the winning bid proceeds go directly to the exhibitors, while a portion supports the National Western Scholarship Trust, empowering future agriculture leaders. So congratulations to the Zayden and Clay from Canute and Madeline from Amber Pocasset. So that's a heck of a job. We need somebody to go up there with a hog. Could have done the whole, could have made a sweep. Somebody to won the swine deal. So congratulations again to all the local kids. They work hard. I hear things about Zayden and Clay. They all work really hard, and again, congratulations on that. Okay, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Grain and soybean futures were lower in overnight trading on concerns about demand for U.S. ag products. Argentina last week cut its export tax on grains to encourage buyers to make its wheat more attractive on the open market. That may improve prospects for exports from the South American country. Analysts have indicated they believe the move will boost shipments from Argentina, digging into demand for U.S. supplies. President Trump, just after his inauguration last Monday, initially backed off threats to impose stiff tariffs on several U.S. trading partners and instead issued a memo saying all trade agreements will be reviewed. During the week, however, he indicated that he wanted to impose tariffs on China, the world's largest importer of soybeans, beginning February 1st. Economists have said imposing strong tariffs on trading partners will trigger retaliatory measures from countries affected by the levies. That, in turn, could curb U.S. exports on ag products. Corn futures fell 2.5 cents to 557 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat future wheat for March delivery lost 3.5 to 540.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures were down 2.5 cents to 557 a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery dropped 8.5 cents to 1047.25 a bushel overnight. Soy meal lost 280. To 302.10 a short ton, and soy oil fell 0.64 cents a pound to 44.58 a pound. Let's see here. We got cattle and calves on feed on January 1st declined a little bit year over year, according to the report from the Ag Department. The number in feedlots with capacity of 1,000 head or more totaled 11.823 million. At the beginning of the year, that's down 1% from the same date in 2024. Steers on feed total 7.248 million, and heifers were reported at 4.575 million. Texas had the most cattle on feed at 2.78 million, followed by Nebraska at 2.58 and Kansas at 2.4 million. Placements into feedlots in December fell 3% from the same month a year earlier to 1.64 million, according to the government. About 395,000 head of cattle at 600 pounds or less were placed, as were 380,000 head ranging from 600 to 699, 375,000 head weighing 700 to 799, 287,000 cattle weighing 800 to 899, 115,000 that weighed 900 to 999, and about 90,000 that were 1,000 pounds or more. Marketing, meanwhile, rose 1% annually in December to 1.74 million head. All right, let's see here. Weather in our big old world of farm and ranch land. Red flag warnings have been issued for several counties in central Nebraska. Winds will be sustained from 15 to 20, with wind gusts up to 25. Humidity will fall as low as 16%. Any fires that develop will catch and spread rapidly. Outdoor burning is not recommended. Intense winds will be also be prevalent in northern Indiana, where they sustain from 20 to 30 and gusts up to 45 this afternoon. Other than that, not much else going, just waiting on the next rain, like we always are, just waiting on that next rain. All right, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. Let's take an OCA break. When I come back, I'll have your Lipscomb Dealerships grain market update, and also talk to you about the bull sales coming up in the next month or so here that's on the Jimmy's bull and female calendar in the Penny News. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 17. 3,648 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 462 brought 400. 15 at 536 brought 328. 14 at 649 brought 283. 10 at 671 brought 287. 5 at 785 brought 269. 11 at 868 brought 251. 6 head of heifers at 435 brought 315. 10 at 516 brought 298. 9 at 577 brought 279. 26 at 762 brought 241. 7 at 764 brought 231. 4 at 940 brought 226. Butcher cows were 30 to 150. Butcher bulls brought 100 to 160. Bred cows 1300 to 2825. Pairs brought 1900 to 2825. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hick 580-497-6095.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices: either use baling wire as a temporary fix or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
If you've got a job that's going to take some heavy equipment and skill, call Johnny Evans at Double J Dozing and Excavating. He specializes in building ponds and making pads for barns and sheds. He'll clear land and trees, he'll make roads, he'll do terrace work, and even fix washouts. Johnny can do most anything that involves a dozer or an excavator. He's ready to go to work in this area, so give him a call or text at 580-339-6854. That's Johnny Evans and Double J Dozing and Excavating.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Wellington, Texas, here's your ag update on your weather out here in the Texas Panhandle. 42 degrees, wind chill 39, humidity is 31, dew point is 14, west wind at 5 miles an hour, peak wind gust today 13, 32 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall so far this month, or moisture, precipitation, 588 minutes of sub-freezing today, 8-inch soil temperature 38 degrees. Let's see what's happening with the market. I know the big boys up on the East Coast was really down this morning. Let's check out the grains. March corn, 479, down 6 3/4. May, 489, down 6 3/4. Soybeans, March, 1046, down 9. May, 1059, down 8.5. Soybean meal, March, 370, down 420. May, 309.30, down 380. Soybean oil, March, 44.80, down 42. Hard red winter wheat, March, 553, down 6.5. May is down 7 at 562. Cotton is for July, 69.83, up 6. West Texas intermediate crude oil, March, 72.65, down 201. Natural gas is at 365 for February, it's down 37. NASDAQ is way down, so is the S&P. It looks like the Dow's kind of holding its own there. And let's see what's happening with the meats. Live cattle, February, 205.67, up 90. April, 203.17, up 15. Feeder cattle for January, 279.65, up 95. March is 275.87, down 70 in April's 275.17, down 27. Lean hogs, February 89.92, up 62. April's 90.12, up 192. And there is your Lipscomb Dealerships Grain Market Update. Okay, let's check out the bull calendars. You guys want to? Let's see here. What do we got coming up? Coming up this Saturday is the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association bull sale, February 1st, starts at 12:15. And then February 8th, the Bradley 3 Ranch out here south of Wellington is at 10 a.m. And then the OK and Texas Angus Breeders Association, or breeders, not association, but breeders, will be February 19th at 1 o'clock. And then I got a new one in here. The Hereford Heritage 13th Annual Bull Sale will be Monday, February the 24th at 12 noon at Fort Cobb at the 77 Ranch Sale Facility there at Fort Cobb. There'll be a big flyer in the new Penny News coming out Wednesday night, Thursday. Looks like they're going to have 108 Angus bulls. I'm sorry, Hereford bulls and 17 Angus, some spring yearlings, some fall long yearlings, and some 2-year-olds. Also selling 20 head of commercial black baldy and red baldy 2-year-old first calf heifer pairs. Oh, that'll be good. All kinds of bull sales coming up. It's that time of the year. There was a bull Saturday or Friday at Elk City. Well over $4,000. Unreal. Slaughter bull, I think. Yeah, I know it was. Slaughter bull, well over $4,000. See, so you guys can just go get your bulls checked right now. That way you'll know if they're good or not. Or maybe you got a 5 or 6-year-old bull that you just hate to get rid of because, oh, man, you wouldn't believe the calves this thing throws and blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's time for a change in the herd. Get them checked. Get them sold at the sale barn if they're not any good. Put the money in the bank. Draw you a couple percent interest there for a week or two. And go buy you a new bull at all these bull sales that are coming up. It's an exciting time of the year. Okay, let's see here. Speaking of cattle, futures were sharply higher last Wednesday with triple-digit gains across the board in live and feeder cattle futures. Wednesday close in February, live cattle at 205 per hundredweight is a new contract high, which that's been blowed out of the water since. Taking out the high from the September of 2023, it's also a new record high for a spot month contract. The same goes for January feeders, settling in at a record price for a spot contract at 277.05 per hundredweight. The explosion higher points to large fund buying, although there does not seem to be any development on the cash front warranting such an aggressive addition of longs. This suggests Wednesday move is basically correction at the cash market has observed a hefty premium to futures for quite some time now. Through last Wednesday afternoon, we've seen fed cattle on negotiated market trading mostly steady in the south at 201 per hundredweight and some later this afternoon at 202 on small volume. A dollar higher than the previous week in the north last week, cash traded at 203 to 205 per hundredweight and 322 dressed was not enough movement this week to establish a market. Last week's five-area weekly steer price notched another record high at 203.67 hundredweight. This marks 9 consecutive weeks of higher cash prices paid by that measure. Dressed weights reported Thursday last week showed steers up 3 pounds to 959, heifers up 10 pounds to 878, a new record for heifers. Choice box beef averaged 331.58 per hundred wheat last week, an increase of 448 per hundred weight from the week prior. Select averaged 318.71, an increase of 1108. The chuck and round continue to storm higher while the rib primal continues its descent. The switch in domestic demand from middles to ends in line with seasonal patterns, as is narrowing spread between choice and select values. Slaughter last week was estimated at 603,000 head. That's up 14,000 from the prior week and 2,000 below a year ago. This week, slaughter is expected to be in the 600 to 605 head range compared to 615 a year ago for the same week. Packers continue to slow slaughter, presumably hoping to keep boxed beef prices moving higher. Smaller weekly slaughter counts compared to a year ago will likely last as beef demand softens through the winter. This will keep dress weights at historical lofty levels. Moving into the end of January and into February, cattle feeders should continue to hold leverage on the cash market. Momentum is likely to shift more towards packers, however, as consumer demand slows seasonally. The latest CFTC commitment of traders showed that as of Tuesday, January the 14th, managed money held a net long position of 149,725 contracts in live cattle, an increase of 5,200 contracts. This is the net longest position for managed money since April of 2019, and only 5,458 contracts less than the record. In feeder cattle, managed money was reported with a net long position of 26,768 contracts. That was an increase of 2,100 contracts, also a new record net long position. Open interest in live cattle increased from 5,879 contracts last week to 375,158 contracts. Feeders open interest contracts increased 3,194 to 81,376 contracts. For feeders, this is an increase of over 30,000 contracts in only 2 months, a new record, and by a mile, to say the least. Cattle on feed is set to be released this coming Friday. Be interesting to see what happens this Friday. Also, where did I go with that? Yes. We don't know 100% because this title of this article says May. The Mexican border may open soon. Live cattle imports from Mexico's state of Chihuahua could resume as early as next week. Imports from other states are on the deck to open soon. It's very important to understand that no one is rushing this agreement or taking any unnecessary chances as we work to open the border, according to Daniel Manzanares, I think. The U.S.-Mexican border may reopen to live cattle trade very soon, according to Daniel. He's the director of the Santa Teresa International Export-Import Livestock Crossing. Daniel says in a memo of understanding between the Union Ganaria Regional, the Chihuahua, however that is, and USDA's Animal Plant Health Inspection Services is presently being circulated for final approval by animal health officials on both sides of the border. Adopting it would pave the way for resumption of live cattle imports to the United States from Chihuahua. The Chihuahua Union is a 7,500-member association of livestock producers. It's sanctioned by the state and Mexican federal government to conduct activities on behalf of its members. The U.S.-Mexican border was closed to all movement of northbound cattle on November the 22nd. Mexico's chief veterinarian officer had a day earlier confirmed the detection of New World screwworm in its southern border state that borders along Guatemala. The state pens and inspection facilities at Santa Teresa border crossing have been empty ever since. The crossing is the largest livestock entry point into the U.S. Nearly 500,000 feeder steers and heifers crossed the border at Santa Teresa last year. A total of 1.2 million crossed the U.S. from Mexico annually through 16 ports. But according to sources, even if they do open, I know I've heard coffee shop talk about what it's going to do to the market when these cattle start coming back in from Mexico. According to some of my sources, this is not going to affect the cash market whatsoever. It's yet to be seen. We'll hit old Brandon up tomorrow, see what he's thinking. Anyway, let's take an OCA break. Be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Did you know a cow's energy requirement increases 1% for each degree the cattle comfort index is below 32 degrees? And that energy would double to 2% if the animal is wet to the skin. One way to help with that is feeding them with MaxiGain or Range Max cattle cubes, all available at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Get yours today in bulk or bags. That's SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City. And follow SEI Agritech on Facebook for ag news and information on their products.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
The thing about tires is it only takes one of them to blow out to stop you right where you are. Good thing Blair Tire comes to you. South of I-40 and west of I-35, nobody has more ag tires than Blair Tire and Feed. They'll have it when you need it. If you're stranded, Blair Tire finds you and fixes it. Getting you rolling again is where they hang their hat. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19 in Blair. All the name brand tires you want. Service that can't be touched.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaw, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
You've got a business to run and need vehicles to run it. We get it. Let Lipscomb Dealerships help you whether your company drives Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, or Ram. We've got the half-ton and heavy-duty trucks you need to get the job done at Lipscomb Dealerships. 6 convenient locations for service across North Texas and Western Oklahoma. Call us today at 800-205-7130. That's 800-205-7130. Or visit LipscombDealerships.com and save more in the country. Lipscomb. Good people, great deals since 1979.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Pick the big town of Cherokee. 44 degrees, feels like 39. Dew point's 19, humidity's 37. The winds are out of the west, southwest at 9. 0.09 inches of moisture so far in the last 10 days. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 32 degrees. Sunset at 5:53. Sunny, 50 degrees today, 26 for a low tonight. Tomorrow, going to be pretty nice. Tomorrow's the day I'm going to build hot wire tomorrow. 57 degrees, mostly sunny, southwest to west winds at a whopping 2 to 3 miles an hour. That's what they're saying. Let's see how that goes tomorrow. Okay, there's so much going on this week. How about all them ball games last weekend, basketball games? According to my source here in the studio, which is really reliable when it comes to Big Elk TV and Paragon TV, Elk City will be playing this Friday, January the 31st, at Bethany. Girls start at 6:30, boys at 8 o'clock. You can watch that on BigElkTV.com. And then, man, this list on Paragon TV is big time. So tomorrow, January 28th, Eric will be at Arapahoe Butler. Canute will be at Fort Cobb Broxton. Hinton will be at Hammond. Shattuck at Leedy. Merritt at Snyder. Cheyenne Raiden will be at Fargo Gage Fort Supply. And that's all tomorrow on Paragon TV. And then coming up this Friday, some upcoming, if you want to get ready for it, Arapahoe Butler will be at Cheyenne Raiden. Fargo Gage Fort Supply will be at Eric. Merritt will be at Hammond. Sentinel will be at Canute. And then there's a shootout Saturday, February 1st. Hammond at Enid. All this on ParagonTV.com. Interesting. Let's see here. Cotton. I hadn't talked about cotton in a few weeks. Let's see what's happening with cotton here. Got my email. So in this email from the National Cotton Council, the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry held a hearing to consider the nomination of Brooke Rollins to serve as Secretary of Agriculture. The nearly four-hour hearing was wide-ranging and mostly cordial, with both Chairman John Boozman out of Arkansas and Ranking Member Amy Klobarcha, however, Democrat out of Minnesota, expressing optimism that Rollins will be able to work with the committee in a bipartisan, constructive fashion. Boozman also emphasized in his opening remarks that Rollins has relationships across the new administration and an understanding of the executive branch procedure that will be critical for her success. Many other members of the committee emphasized the enormous challenges producers across the country are facing, with Senator Tommy Tuberville out of Alabama referencing the burdens that inflation and the volatile commodity prices are placing on cotton producers specifically. Rollins stated in her response to him that we got to expand the market and we got to figure out input costs. She also emphasized throughout the hearing that she will work to quickly to deliver the economic assistance and disaster relief Congress authorized in December. The importance of the ag trade was another topic frequently raised throughout the hearing. In exchanges with Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky and Warnock out of Georgia and others, Rollins expressed her belief that while tariffs are one tool of the president at President Trump's disposal, he is above all a consumer mate deal maker who will likely expand foreign trade opportunities. Rollins also strongly implied that she would work to provide relief to producers who may adversely be impacted by any retaliatory tariffs that might arise in the future. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's see. The House Ag Committee leadership team was announced. The House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson out of Pennsylvania and Ranking Member Angie Craig, a Democrat out of Minnesota, announced the following placements. Vice Chairman of the full committee, Austin Scott, Representative Austin Scott out of Georgia, and Vice Ranking Member of full committee, Shondell Brown out of Ohio. Chairman of Subcommittee of General Farm Commodities, Risk Management and Credit, Representative Austin Scott out of Georgia. Vice Chair, Representative David Rosler out of North Carolina. I hope I said that right. And ranking member, Representative Davids, out of a Democrat out of Kansas. So things are moving around in Washington, D.C., if anybody cares. Let's see here. What else we got going on here? Yeah, let's check out some exports that ended for cotton for ending January the 16th. Net export sales for the week ending January 16th was 365,700 bales, a marketing high year. That brings the total of the 24-25 sales to approximately 8.9 million. Total sales at the same point in the 23-24 marketing year are approximately 10 million bales. Total new crop for the 25-26 sales are 571,000 bales. Shipments for the week were at 232,700 bales, bringing total exports to date to 3.6 million bales compared with 4.2 million bales at a comparable point in the 23-24 marketing year. There's your update on cotton. Let's see what else. They got anything else going on? Oh, yeah. It says here the NCC distributed its 25 crop season planting intentions survey questionnaire to U.S. upland and extra long staple cotton producers through a combination of regular mail and email. Producers who have not received a questionnaire may go to cotton.org/survey/25 cotton acres. So if you haven't done that, help out the cotton boys and let's get her done. All right, let's see here. What else? Oh, you guys ready? You know, the last 2 years, I've brought up how to, let me get this expanded here. What is a good bull worth? So we've done what is a good bull worth in 2023? What is a good bull worth in 2025? What is a good bull worth in 24? What is a good bull worth this year? So let's check out what Mark Z. Johnson from Oklahoma State Extension Beef Cattle Breeding Specialist has got to say. Because I've read his deal every year for the last, this is number three. The spring bull buying season is here. It's time to revisit the age-old question. The question has been asked forever, or at least as long as we've been breeding cattle with a notion of trying to make the next generation better. It is a classic and a timeless question. It's an important question. At this time of the year, when many bulls are being marketed and we're planning ahead for spring breeding season, it is a question that is asked a lot. So here's the answer. I remember first hearing the answer nearly 40 years ago as a student at OSU. A good bull is worth the value of five calves he sires. I've heard that answer again many times over the years. Is it a good answer? And a good rule of thumb to follow. The problem is it doesn't exactly narrow down the range. If we do a little cowboy math, this answer may in fact lead to more questions, such as, what is considered a good bull? For this discussion, qualifications to meet good bull status are a bull that sells with a registration paper, which includes the pedigree information and a complete set of genetic values, also including EPDs and a bioeconomic indices, to be considered in the selection process. A bull that has passed a breeding soundness exam and selling with breeding soundness warranty. Terms will vary from one sale to the other. When are we marketing our calves? What is their value? According to the most recent January 21st, 2025 Oklahoma market report, 524-pound weaned steers, large number ones, are worth $350 a pound for the value of approximately $1,834 per head. Therefore, if my marketing plan is to sell weaned steers, $1,834 times five calves equals $9,170 is the answer. 912 pound yearling steers, large number ones, are worth $253 a pound for the value of over $2,300 per head. Therefore, in my future marketing plan to sell yearling steers, $2,300 times 5 means that $11,500 is my answer for that bull. We're not done yet. This don't go nowhere. 1,500-pound finished beef steers are worth $2 a pound live for a value of $3,000 each. Therefore, if my future marketing plan is to retain ownership through finishing and sell fed cattle on live weight basis, 3,000 times 5 is $15,000. I'll bet some of you are going, ain't no dang way I'm paying $15,000 for a bull. Bull crap. There's a bunch of you out there paying $8,000 to $9,000 to $10,000 for bulls, and you know it. So in the current market, a good bull is worth somewhere between $9,000 and $15,000 to a commercial cow calf operation. Where exactly in that range depends on your marketing plan and the market conditions at the time. Not an exact number because there's so many variables in play. One key point illustrated here is the longer you own the offspring before marketing, the greater the value the bull is to your operation. Retain ownership gives you more time and opportunity to capture the value investment in genetics. It's noteworthy to say that we haven't considered the value added to replacement females the bull will sire. Bulls are used to sire the next generation of cows and have an even greater long-term economic impact on the profit potential of your operation and should be valued accordingly. I encourage cow-calf operations to consider their production and system and marketing plan. Doing so should dictate where to apply your selection pressure. Genetic values pay when you purchase bulls capable of improving genetic potential for specific trades that will translate to added value at your intended marketing endpoint. So keep this chart in mind. Pretty simple. And then at today, see, this year you guys can pay more for bulls and not get in trouble from your wife because the market's up. Now watch the market, and there's nothing going to change here in the next few months. So, honey, Jimmy said that if I'm keeping these, selling these for live fed cattle, I should pay $15,000 for a bull. Put it on me. I don't care. And if you're not, if you're going to sell them at 500 pounds, about $9,000 for a bull. So there you go. Hope that helps you guys in your bull selection and how much money you can pay this year. All right, let's take an OCA break. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oklahoma is an incredible mix of cultures and people. That's what makes our state great. Alcohol and substance use impact far too many individuals, families, and communities. Know your risks and how to help yourself, family, and friends. Visit OKAMReady.org for more information or call or text 988, Oklahoma's Mental Health Lifeline. This program is funded by Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Prevention Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the Center of Substance Abuse Prevention, and Southwestern Oklahoma Development Authority.
Brian Baca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Just imagine you're getting to the end of your career. You have worked hard creating a beautiful life for your family over the past 30 or 40 years. You've raised your kids and spent countless hours at their sporting events, concerts, and ag shows. As you were going through this phase of your life, you thought the long evenings would never end. Now that your career is winding down and your kids are no longer home, you cherish those memories with your family and wish you could go back and watch your kids do what they love one more time. You now have grandkids, and you find peace watching your own kids become parents and love seeing the world through your grandkids' eyes. As you inch toward retirement, you start to wonder if you've taken the right steps, saved enough money, and where does Medicare and Social Security fit into all of this? Advanced Financial Strategies in Clinton, 323-6800 or retirewithbaca.com. There are many things in life that will worry us, but retirement should not be one of them. Let us help you find your peace in retirement.
That's the sound of a fridge begging for mercy. Or how about that washing machine that sounds more like a rock band than a rinse cycle? Shy the Repair Guy has it covered. He'll fix anything from rebellious refrigerators to whining washing machines. If it plugs in and breaks down, call Shy the Repair Guy and let him turn your "why is it doing that?" into "ah, that's better." For all your household appliance repair needs, call Shy at 580-243-9619 or Daryl 580-799-5433.
Cold days, frigid nights, that's winter out here. And then there's the ice and snow. Your vehicle takes a beating at the hands of Old Man Winter. Not a good time to break down on the side of the road somewhere. Barber Dyson Ford's technicians will get your vehicle cold weather ready, regardless of make or model. BD even has WeatherTech products to protect the inside of your motorized chariot. Let our service team at Barber Dyson Ford get your vehicle cold weather ready. Online, barberdysonford.net.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Pick the big city of Altus, Oklahoma. 42, feels like 40. Dew point's 12, humidity's 29%. The winds are out of the west, southwest at 3. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil, temperature 39 degrees, 6:01 is your sunset. Days are getting longer, baby. Sunny and 50 today. Gonna have to hurry. Clear, low of 28 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 59 degrees with light winds out of the west to south at 3 to 6 miles an hour. Let's see here. Where was I at? Wanted to share this with you guys. I seen this on Ag Web over the weekend under their machinery deal. Many dealerships offer annual inspections of tractors, combines, planters, and other big ticket machinery. Some farmers value those annual inspections, others consider them a waste of money. Here's a mechanic's experience and opinion. Many equipment dealerships, or he said that, some farmers value that inspection. Other farmers consider them a ripoff and a waste of money. So here's some of my experiences and opinion from a mechanic. After college, I spent 15 years as a equipment manager for a large corporate farm. We had a nice shop and employees who were excellent mechanics. Aside from complete engine and transmission overhauls, we did our own repairs. We were confident we could check machines for leaks, cracks, and worn components, and the mechanics at the local dealership could do the same. Our machinery costs were consistently below Iowa State University annual average estimate of machinery cost per acre. Circumstances changed, and I spent the past 30 years as a mechanic at a large farm equipment dealership. I admit, because of my on-farm experience, I did my first inspection of a combine with extreme confidence. I checked the belts, found a couple loose bearings, and spotted some worn sprockets. I checked everything I ever seen go wrong with a combine. Then a veteran tech wandered past the machine, paused, and asked, "Did you check the half moon keys inside the variable speed feeder house shivs?" Half moon keys inside the feeder house shivs? What are you talking about? Yeah, and the wooden bearing block under the cab that supports the inner end of the upper tailings elevator auger? Not yet. He nodded and walked away. Message delivered. Lesson learned. An average farmer is familiar with fixing the breakdowns they've seen on their machines. Dealership mechanics are familiar with problems that they've seen on dozens, maybe hundreds, of machines. Plus, the dealership gets several bulletins from the equipment manufacturer about known or development problems on machines reported by mechanics across the country. Annual inspections are by nature nitpicky. The goal is to find every potential problem from damaged decals to coolant in the engine oil sample. We don't expect the machine's owner to have us fix everything we point out. We just want customers to be aware of things that could be fixed. It's entirely up to the customer whether they want to take the machine home or fix all or some of the problems themselves. Whether we fix all the problems or whether they decide it'll run another year. The big thing is we don't want the machine to break down in the field. Preventing breakdowns is as much part of our job as repairing the breakdowns. Thought I'd share that with you guys. And see what else we got here. We haven't talked about eggs in a while, but before we get to chicken eggs, let's talk about the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. It's a member-led and member-driven organization, provides legislative representation to protect things like farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft. I'm telling you guys, right now is not a bad time to join any association like the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, the Texas and Southwestern Oklahoma Cattlemen's Associations. It's cheap insurance, as far as I'm concerned. As high prices of cattle continue, and they're going to continue for a while. But as I mentioned last week, talking to some of the guys that investigate cattle thieving, it is on the rise. So take preventive actions, ear tagging, branding, ear notching, cameras. Man, the camera deal's cheap. Put a camera, the camera deal is so cheap to catch a thief. So, it don't even have to be thieving cattle. It can be thieving machinery or stealing diesel out of your tanks and stuff like that. But being a member of associations like this year, OCA, Oklahoma Farm Bureau, blah, 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 it's cheap insurance right now to have somebody that'll have your back to investigate any thieving going on. Also, in-person and virtual producer education, Beef Direct Sales list that connects consumers with OCA members marketing beef, monthly issues of the Cowman magazine, and weekly email updates and issues videos. For $100 a year, you can experience all these benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week or $8 a month to have an association working full-time to represent you and to help protect your way of life. www.okcattleman.org or call Miss Lori at 580-273-5137. 580-273-5137. I highly recommend you become a member. You don't have to be an active member. Just be a member so you know somebody's got your back. Because I'm going to tell you, law enforcement agencies in each county are overwhelmed with a lot of stuff. And with the OCA and the Oklahoma Farm Bureau and those guys having your back as far as getting investigators out here, plus we have the Oklahoma Department of Ag here in Oklahoma that we've got investigators doing, and so does the Southwest and the Texas Cattlemen's Association. They got some really good people that'll have your back. So, all right, let's talk eggs real quick. According to the January 2025 food price outlook, egg prices saw the biggest spike, up 37% year over year. When you look ahead, the USDA expects outbreaks of the old bird flu to continue to cause egg prices to climb. The January 2025 food price outlook released Friday shows food price inflation has slowed overall, but key sectors like eggs and beef remain volatile due to supply chain and input cost pressures. Egg prices saw the biggest spike according to the USDA's data, up 37%. But the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data shows the price of grade A eggs in December was up 93% since January of 2024. And when you look ahead, the USDA expects outbreaks of the bird flu to cause eggs to even climb more. So when it comes to the USDA specific outlook released Friday, the agency used recent trends in food prices based on the Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index through December of 2024. Woo! How about that to end the show with? See you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Remember, tomorrow's Hay Day Tuesday. See you tomorrow.